another episode of Sneedcast Industry Update, the series where we'll let you know what's new in manufacturing, processing, packaging, coding, and so much more. We'll be dropping a new episode on a bi-weekly basis to keep you up to date with the latest news and insights that affect your business. I'm your host, Alexa, and today we'll be discussing topics ranging from familial biodiesel schemes to toxic sweet treats to losing limbs, and finally to creating a circular economy for packaging. So, starting off, the family that schemes together gets caught together. Ah yes, so what a way to kick off the segment. We're back with another workplace scheme. Five people were sentenced for their roles in a biofuel tax conspiracy. From 2010 to 2018, Lev Derman, the Kingston brothers, Jacob and Isaiah, their nearly 70-year-old mother, Rachel Kingston, and Jacob's wife, Sally, worked together to claim more than $1 billion in fraudulent refundable renewable fuel tax credits. The Kingston brothers owned Washakie Renewable Energy, a biodiesel company in Utah that received more than $511 million in credits paid out by the IRS. For more than 8 years, the co-conspirators pulled multiple schemes, including the following. Washakie bought biodiesel from East Coast Company that had already claimed the renewable fuel tax credit, and then exported it to foreign countries using forged transport documents that made it seem that it was produced in the Utah plant. The company also falsified paperwork to disguise imported biodiesel as feedstock. They then filed fake tax documents to make fraudulent claims about in-house biodiesel production for IRS biofuel tax credits. Another scheme that the group orchestrated was when millions of gallons of biodiesel were purchased and then rotated through the U.S. shipping system to create the appearance that qualifying fuel was being produced and sold by Washakie. What made the family believe that they could get away with it all? Well, Derman had told the Kingstons that he could protect them with his corrupt umbrella of law enforcement, keeping them immune from criminal prosecution, which of course was a lie. You would think that the Kingstons and Derman would try to keep the whole operation under wraps, but you'd be wrong. In fact, the perpetrators spent the money on an 150-foot yacht named the Queen Anne. They then bought land in Belize for a casino, multiple mansions, a 2010 Bugatti Veyron, a chrome Lamborghini, and the cherry on top, a gold Ferrari. Like the saying goes, if you can't do the time, then don't do the crime. Derman was sentenced to 40 years in prison in order to pay more than $442 million in restitution. He's also facing a money judgment of more than $181 million. Jacob Kingston, CEO of Washakie, received 18 years in order to pay $511 million in restitution, and he has to pay a $338 million money judgment against him. The former CFO, Isaiah Kingston, is facing 12 years and has to pay $511 million in restitution to the IRS. Sally was sentenced to 6 years, and finally, Rachel, the matriarch of the family, was sentenced to 7 years in prison. Well, it seems that justice has been served, at least for now. You know, Easter is right around the corner when you begin to see those brightly colored peeps lining store shelves. This past Easter, Americans would have devoured 1 billion peeps. Have you ever wondered what gives these treats their iconic color? Erythrosine, also known as red number 3, is one of the several chemicals, along with titanium dioxide, that's used to color some of the most popular candy in the country. Peeps aren't the only sweets that use these chemicals. There's also Skittles and hot tamales. Both red number 3 and titanium dioxide have been linked to cancer, which is why more than 30 years ago, US regulators banned red number 3 from makeup. Ironic, isn't it? It was banned from the cosmetic industry, but not for the food industry, much to the dismay of some consumer safety groups. Now a California state lawmaker wants to ban erythrosine and titanium dioxide, plus three additional chemicals that are used in everyday items like tortillas and sodas. With the hearing drawing nearer and nearer, some headlines around the world have declared that California wants to ban Skittles and other candies. However, Jesse Gabriel, a Democrat who authored the bill, said, "Plenty of alternative ingredients are available," noting that the chemicals are already banned in Europe and the companies still find a way to sell candy there. They still produce Skittles in other parts of the world. What they do is take out these toxic ingredients and they replace them with something else. The goal is not to ban these candies. It's to find viable substitutions for these alleged toxic ingredients. The National Confectioners Association said that finding a substitution is not as easy because tastes vary across cultures, and just because the reformulated candy is accepted in Europe doesn't mean that it will be accepted here. Christopher Gindelsberger, spokesperson for the National Confectioners Association, said, "There's a lot more at play here than a simple soundbite solution. We need a comprehensive look at this to make sure that there aren't unintended consequences for chocolate and candy companies." With red number 3 being around since 1907, what is it that prompted the need for change? Well, researchers found that rats that were exposed to lots of red number 3 over long periods of time developed thyroid cancer, which is why in 1990, the US FDA banned red number 3 from cosmetics. Titanium dioxide has also been listed as a possible carcinogen in humans by the International Agency for Research on Cancer. However, the Titanium Dioxide Manufacturers Association stays firm that there is no evidence of it causing cancer in humans. The candy industry also insists that the chemicals California is considering banning have been thoroughly reviewed by the federal and state systems and many international scientific bodies, and they continue to be deemed safe. Scott Faber, the Senior Vice President for Governmental Affairs for the nonprofit Environmental Working Group, said, "The only reason the chemical is still deemed safe by federal regulators is because of a loophole that chemical companies exploit. However, regulators have not reviewed their prior decisions in light of new science." Faber also goes on to say, "The confectioners in the food industry know the review process at the FDA is broken. They've been hiding behind it for decades. We shouldn't let them hide behind it anymore." So, like Faber states, if the FDA won't fix this review system and keep us safe from dangerous chemicals in our food, then it's up to states like California to keep us safe. While the creator of Peeps, Just Born Incorporated, says that their ingredients and packaging are exclusively sourced from reputable suppliers who adhere to high quality and safety standards, the company also noted that its developmental team is looking for natural sources that can deliver the same visual impact and stability as their certified counterparts. Well, I don't know about you, but I will definitely be giving it a second thought before I decide to taste the rainbow again. Our segment wouldn't be complete without OSHA cracking down on the unjust. This time, we're taken all the way over to an Ohio food processing plant, Zwanenburg Food Group USA. It's a privately held food company that has 12 production facilities in the Netherlands, the UK, and the US. While working an overnight sanitation shift, a 29-year-old temporary worker suffered critical injuries after falling into an industrial blender. While he was cleaning, he became caught in the rotating paddle augers, which ultimately ended up costing him his leg. OSHA analyzed Zwanenburg Food Group USA Incorporated injuries report back in October 12 of 2022 and determined that the host employer did not train sanitation workers to lock out the equipment prior to cleaning, which ended up exposing them to moving machine parts. Ironically, OSHA had just cited the plant for similar violations less than 2 weeks before this tragedy. Now, Zwanenburg Food Group USA Incorporated is potentially going to have to pay $1.9 million in penalties after citing 11 willful, 4 serious, 1 repeat, and 1 other than serious violations. Most of the violations involved required machine safety procedures that isolate energy to prevent movement during the cleaning and maintenance process. The agency placed Zwanenburg in its Severe Violator Enforcement Program back in 2017. Bill Donovan, OSHA Regional Administrator in Chicago, said, "This young man suffered a preventable debilitating injury because his employer failed to train him and the majority of its third shift sanitation workers adequately to lock out equipment to ensure their own safety." OSHA also found Zwanenburg failed to verify changes to the lockout and tagout procedures, retrain workers when changes occurred, periodically test the procedures, and correct deviations. In addition, trip hazards, electrical safe work procedures, lack of eye protection, and personal protective equipment were also noted. According to OSHA Area Director in Cincinnati, Ken Montgomery, by following OSHA and industry-recognized safety standards, employers can prevent injuries like the one that occurred here. OSHA cited Zwanenburg Food Group USA in 2017, and then again on September 30th of 2022 for violations of machine safety procedures and other hazards. However, the company has contested the most recent violations. Week after week, it's just workplace violation after violation, so much so that you would think by now that workplaces would have learned. And yet, here we are, proven wrong again. At least we're ending this segment on a high note, as global sustainability legislation drives the packaging industry's current landscape and future outlook. Plastic is the most regulated of all packaging materials, with several laws enacted in hopes to prevent it from becoming waste. In fact, California's Assembly Bill 793, also known as the Bottle Bill, signed into law in September of 2020, requires post-consumer recycled content standards for plastic beverage containers subject to the California refund value. In other words, this bill makes it mandatory for bottles to be made with 15% recycled content by 2022 and eventually 50% recycled content by 2030. According to a global packaging development lead, "Our primary effort is optimizing packaging through the use of eliminating or reducing plastic." Following California's initiative, Maine and Oregon became the first two U.S. states to introduce extended producer responsibility legislation for plastic packaging in 2021. This shifts the responsibility of packaging waste management from individuals or municipalities to producers. One packaging specialist goes on to say that responsibility to create the aftermarket should lie with plastic producers since they created initial projects. Responsibility also lies within the packaging designer. There should be an incentive to stop using unnecessary plastic. The specialist also goes on to add, "Recyclers and their facilities are doing the best they can. It's not their role to find end users for recycled material. There's also pressure being added by tightening regulations and bans around plastic waste shipments, like the ones applied by the European Union in 2021. In addition to legislation, there's also the need to create a circular economy for all packaging. From optimal eco-design to reusable packaging, implementation of circular economy initiatives has been affirmed in law. In corporate 2025 and 2030 pledges and in initiatives such as the EU Circular Economy Action Plan, this happens to be a building block in the European Green Deal that was adopted in 2020. Packaging waste or environmental laws mostly target the move to sustainable materials and increase recycling rates. In fact, more countries are using ERP and deposit return systems to advance the circular economy. The goal for 2050 is to meet net zero carbon emissions and is all being done through national laws and environmental goals of brand packaging users and packaging producers and converters. The focus is on renewable and recycled substrates and the conversion from fossil fuels toward renewable powered operations. Needless to say that we're getting closer and closer to creating a circular economy for all packaging.
It seems like just yesterday we were kicking off the We're Coding Everywhere tour, and now we're approaching the halfway mark. We're only a couple of weeks away from making our way over to Nashville, Tennessee for Brew Expo America. This time you'll be able to find the Booth Boys in booth 2460 from May 7th to the 10th. So make sure to mark your calendars and register for the event. We wouldn't want you missing out on America's largest craft brewing industry gathering, let alone the opportunity to keep coding simple. Stay tuned for our next episode of Sneedcast Industry Update, and like always, make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and hit that notification bell down below to stay up to date with all of our great content. Follow our social media platforms to see all of our updates as we continue on our We're Coding Everywhere tour, and also let us know what topics you'd like to see us talk about here on the show. We look forward to hearing from you all. Bye, guys.